John, do you, good morning to you.
Good morning. Hi there.
John's with Unity Books Wellington and has been reading for us When I Sing, Mountains Dance by Irene Zola.
Yeah, that's right. So my Spanish housemate assures me that Irene Zola is my correct pronunciation. So and thank you to her for that. And yeah, her first novel is When I Sing, Mountains Dance. She's actually a poet and a visual artist. She's published a couple of books of poetry, but this is her first novel. And I'd say on the evidence of this, she can happily give up those other careers because this is an incredible book. So it's set in the Pyrenees, on the Spanish side of the Pyrenees. And she gives us in it, it's a portrait of the lives of a small community living somewhat removed from the rest of society. These are kind of proudly independent people. If you know any West Coasters, you've probably got the kind of idea in mind. And there are people who kind of live in thrall to nature, or maybe at one with nature. They're human lives, which are entangled really with the flora and fauna and the seasons and the weather and the mountains themselves, and with some kind of more mysterious forces that the supernatural certainly turns up in this book, although it's still very much rooted in the natural. And our kind of entry point into the community is a young married couple, Dominic and Cio. And the human story here concerns their lives and those of their children, Hilary and Mia, and their friend Jaume. And we'll hear from each of those characters as the book goes on. But the blurb kind of explains that it's a polyphonic novel, is how it puts it. And it's a voice or a novel of many voices. Each chapter is told in a different voice. We only hear from each voice once, but the characters recur throughout. Half of them are human, but the other half are kind of manifestations of nature or of other forces. So the first one, for instance, is the voice of the thunderclouds that roll down the mountains while Dominic is out trying to rescue a calf that's trapped in a fence on his farm. And no prizes for guessing that something's going to go wrong there. So the book actually opens with a death. And when these kind of forces of nature speak, they're often with a collective voice. The clouds speak kind of as one, as almost as all of the water. So they speak as the clouds and as the rain and as the rivers that flow. And in turn, we get chapters narrated by mushrooms, and they speak as a collective. They are mushrooms, and then when the boar and the roe deer come and eat them, they are spores, and then they're released into the ground. And when the spring rains come down, they're mushrooms again. So there's this kind of idea of continuity and of continuum being built up in nature, but it also kind of extends to the human characters. We meet them not just as living humans, but as ghosts. There are ghosts of poets and witches and casualties of the Civil War, all living out their afterlives in the mountains. So between nature and the humans, it kind of creates this timeless world that almost has like a mythic quality to it. And really what blew me away by this novel is the language that builds it up, and the language that merges these human and natural worlds. When nature's evoked, it has a human agency to it. When Dominic is struck by lightning, it says, "The man collapsed on the grass and the meadow pressed its cheek to his." And then when humans are described, they're in the vocabulary of nature. When his wife learns of his death, "The crying starts like a small animal, like a single cloud, like a thin fog in my chest, like a small bone lodged in my throat, like a series of stones in my sternum." So there's this mingling of the worlds, and that language, yeah, is really at the heart of it. And there's poetry to it. She's a poet, that's quite clear, but it can also be, there's a lot of different styles dispatched in this kind of ventriloquism act of giving you all of these voices. So when a dog speaks to you, it sounds like a dumb dog. And when a poet speaks, it's beautiful. And when a mountain speaks, it's cold and it's disdainful. And I think, well, you've got to give mention to the translation here. Mara Faye Lethem is our translator, and everything, all the different voices are rendered so naturally that you wouldn't know. If you didn't know, you wouldn't know it was translated. I just wanted to mention right at the end, there's a passage where two characters have a kind of reunification, and it's a good example of how the language can just turn very plain and simple and still work wonders. As these two characters come together, it says, "I take all of the steps until I'm standing in front of him." And it's such a specific and simple way of putting something, but there's so much power in it, because by that stage, you know those characters so very well and you can feel
wonderful,
the weight
John.
Of it.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. John Duke from Unity Books, Wellington. When I Sing Mountains Dance by Irene Sola, translated by Mara Faye Letham, published by Allen & Unwin, $33 the price.